feel settled, feel good. Thanks, John, for going over that. One thing that's cool is we transitioned from like the business side of the house to a little bit more of a different side of the house. One thing that's cool to look at or think about in all of what was just presented is that you mentioned like that it looked like a good balance sheet or looked like a good breakdown for a small organization. You know, one thing that's cool is that when we hear that, I'm sure that we can feel and hear that the expansion side of things, as we're growing and as we're expanding, that because you always brought our family and our leadership through such a, like, under the direction of a mother and a father who can oversee a family, we've gotten to this place of health, a state of health, right? Mm-hmm. So what's cool to think about is in all of that, it not only just looks good on paper, but as we're, as a community, pursuing not just looking good on paper, that we're also seeing the other side of that, that we're not just looking for a good-looking balance sheet and things to look good on the surface, but we know that why that picture is there in the first place, because of the foundation and the underlying factors that brought that order, right?
Yeah.
And so even as we go from that, don't compartmentalize the business side and think like, that looks good, awesome, we checked it off the box for our yearly presentation. But take that and apply it now, knowing that like, as a foundational component and piece of our home, they're not here tonight, of course. We know that they're on a little excursion, but we know that they're not here. But what's represented in that is that foundational piece that brings order and sets things straight so that expansion and growth can happen. Make sense? So we don't have our typical host tonight with Sean, so you get me instead. But just wanted to take a moment to kind of reset the tone and sort of dot connect between that, you know, business side of the house into this side, that we're not compartmentalizing it. And then knowing, of course, that in everything that we're doing here, I find it funny that we're like in the, you could say like in the spiritual side of what we're doing, we're in this place of pursuing discomfort, right? We're making this normal. We're all sitting down. We're out of our typical place of comfort. Even thinking of what that produces, not just in the spiritual side, and what that is aimed at, but that it is a much bigger, broader picture that will ultimately cause both to be reflected. Because we're ones that are going to pursue discomfort, we're not racing to the finish line, we're not trying to just obtain something and get to the end of a thing, but we know that there's a progression, there's a process, and there's a lifelong thing, an eternal thing that we're in pursuit of. And so that all of those, the picture over there and then the picture over here is contributing to all of that. So just to be decompartmentalized in that, thinking about all of those pieces as we have another opportunity to gather tonight as a family and sit under what y'all wants to bring to the family. Okay.
All right, you guys, I'm at the tail end of a cold, so you're going to have to just kind of deal with my scratchy, super deep voice that I have tonight, different than how I normally sound. So tonight is going to be obviously kind of a, as Mom described it, we had a little bit of a working meeting, and then also some positioning. And the purpose for that was to ensure that we have an opportunity or a moment to be able to really move into what's coming with clarity and with direction. Not that we haven't received the absolute fullest possible direction that we could have. It's kind of remarkable how clear Yahweh has directed every aspect of these last 3 years in general, but especially as we get ready to move from that 3-year cycle into what is next, which of course will include continuing in Torah, because that's our life. That will be our continued foundation in all things as we move into the next season. But we also were given a specific, I don't know if you would call it a guideline or directive when it comes to what we are not going to carry into the shift into culture, which is marked by tabernacles. So we're going to go over some of those things tonight. And it's going to look like, so we're not going to be doing the last Torah portion. Mom put that on Voxer this morning. Hopefully everyone was able to see it. The last portion of a three-year cycle, I personally want to be under Mom and Dad and their voice and what it is that they would be seeing over our house and our community after that incredible three-year cycle and season, the first Torah portion cycle that as a community we've ever done. So that is a huge feat and mark in our journey as a family. So they're going to have some specific things to teach and to speak into that. So that will be next Friday. So the rest of tonight, for one, you'll have my voice on a specific word that Yahweh has for us in preparing for the transition. And then you will hear from Amber and Jason on kind of like your, what Amber and Jason do. They will position you, they will bring a covering as long as you're willing to come under it, right? Okay, so that is what we're gonna be tackling tonight, okay? Okay, so tonight really is a reminder, it's a time of reflection, it's an assurance of our understanding, and it's also a call to continue, because there are things that are in motion or in progress that when a shift happens, a lot of times what I'll see people do, or I will have a tendency to do as well, is a shift begins to come, or you prepare for something to change, and you'll think almost subconsciously sometimes, I'm going to stop what I'm doing because it's changing. Right? So you don't even think about it, but you'll maybe let off the gas a little bit or not run as hard. You know, it's just like when you're getting to the end of a really long run or some sort of a feat that you're accomplishing, and you've got two options as you get towards the end, which we know the end is a beginning. As you get towards that end, you can slow down because you're realizing, oh, I'm not going to have to keep doing this way. So it's like there's this sense of almost like false relief because you feel like something is done.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? Instead of what we've learned in kingdom culture and in this house, as you will only enter in the way that you leave a place. So if you leave in a lack of intensity, clarity, understanding, intentionality, discipline, focus, all of those things, then that's how you're going to begin in something that is new. And what's new is just in addition to, because if Torah is where we've been the last 3 years, it's not going away. He's adding culture, which is part of what we're going to talk about tonight. But he's adding culture, so you can't then all of a sudden just stop in all of the ways that you've been raised over the last 3 years, or everything will be lost and what he's adding to won't be gained. Okay? So that is a huge aspect of tonight, is making sure that we have the right mindset going into the shift that's coming. Okay? Okay, so the word that Yahweh spoke for us tonight was, culture will mean nothing if you haven't embraced the good news. Okay. All right. We're going to talk about moving from knowledge to culture, and we're also going to talk a little bit about the good news to make sure that we know what we're talking about. All right? Okay. So one of the things we've learned coming out of religion, hopefully we've learned this coming out of religion, is that knowledge means absolutely nothing without application, right? You can acquire knowledge or be knowledgeable, but what benefit does knowledge bring or produce if it's never applied? Nothing. That's great. We're smart. Or we're well-read, or we, in quotes, know Torah. Okay? But again, if you know Torah, but you don't apply Torah in the sense that it's not your lifestyle or the way that you live, what good is it to anyone? Right? Okay, so coming out of that being the very definition of religion, knowledge without application, without transformation, without personalization, we want to make sure that as we get ready to step into and follow in application, that it's clear what we know. Okay? All right. Because knowledge is applied through culture. Mm-hmm. Culture is the way of life that you live based on what you know or believe. We have a culture in the world. I mean, we use that term a lot, right? There's cultures in your work environments. There's culture in your household. There's a culture in Flagstaff. There's, I saw a lot of faces like, yeah, there's a culture in Flagstaff.
Can you say that one more time? Maybe culture is the way you live your life based on what you know.
Mm-hmm. Based on what you know or believe. Yeah. So the culture that you carry, like even in your household, represents what you know or what you believe, even if it's an unhealthy culture. It's a reflection of what's internal. It's a reflection of mindsets. It's a reflection of, right, all of those different things, which is why we are having to now embark on a season where we're going to come under his culture. Not that that's not what he's been doing. We've already been receiving elements of his culture, kingdom culture, but now with the foundation of Torah, it is going to open an entirely new depth of kingdom culture that we, outside of the law and in lawlessness, would never have been able to have access to, and certainly not have the heart or the ability to submit to it. Okay. Culture is also how knowledge is passed down. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So, if kind of backtracking, if knowledge is applied through culture, and culture is the way of life that you live based on what you know, and it's going to be what you pass down, then I would say what you know, like in quotes, what you know, not just head knowledge, but remember how Yahweh redefined knowledge for us, right? That it's this intimate exchange and depth of ownership of something that is not just a book learning, but it becomes a part of you. Okay, so what you know matters. If what you know is what you're going to pass down, you can look at this very clearly and kind of painfully in the things that we pass on to our children as parents, right? They start to know the things that you know. Whether that's healthy or unhealthy, good or bad, honoring or dishonoring, ultimately of his culture. Culture is how knowledge is passed down. So whatever the culture has looked like in our households, in religion, in our lives, in the past, that's what we're about to step into, is a unity in his culture. Okay, but first we have to make sure that what we're taking into the receiving of culture, that we know the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if culture is going to become uniform, then it can only be consistent if what we know is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And the word of preparation for that time in tonight was embracing the good news is how we're going to fully receive culture, meaning there are two, I mean, that's kind of, I guess, really summing it up, but there have been two different types of good news. There's the good news we knew in Christianity and in religion, and there's the good news as we've come to know it.
Mm-hmm.
Would everyone agree that what you knew about the good news has changed?
Yes.
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 Right. Okay.
Upside down.
Yes. Okay. So, I'm going to say good news a lot, just to prepare us. And I think that that's going to be really good, because it's a good thing for us to keep wrapping our heads around the reality and the depth of the goodness that we're going to embrace as we come under and follow in culture. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we know the good news to be matters, because it's the good news itself that we're going to be living. It's the good news that's going to express itself through culture. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It's not like this random, oh, we're just going to figure out, like mom and dad are randomly kind of, oh, what would his culture look like?
Yeah.
Like, let me just kind of hodgepodge, like put the source is the good news.
Yeah.
Right? Which is why the last month of everything that's been released over the house has specifically been the reintroduction of the actual good news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have experienced it over the last month when it comes to us on an individual level. There are people in this house that I can tell you the way that they have, their heart has turned and responded to the re-invitation or the reintroduction of the good news is actual salvation. In comparison to what we knew of, again, using these terms kind of interchangeably, salvation, gospel, good news. Okay? We're going to get a little bit into the wording of that just so that we can continue to make sure we're not carrying the good news here from our history, but we're carrying the good news in where we're going.
Okay.
Because one of the most powerful aspects of the good news we've learned is that when you receive it, it's the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not just about rectifying or restoring your past. It's about being able to fully come under your future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how would we define the good news as we knew it? What would you say? Was it?
Get your ticket out of here.
Ticket out. What was it?
Accept Jesus and don't go to hell.
Yeah. Yep. Don't go to hell.
Your sins forgiven.
Yep. Forgiveness. Anything else? What?
It was awesome.
It was awesome? Is that what you said? It was awesome. Anything else?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can
mm-hmm. Okay.
No
ownership. Yeah.
Hands free.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go to
hell. Oh my gosh. You guys, those are crazy examples.
I know.
And we feel so far removed that I forget some of them until I hear them again and I'm like, that's scary and sad. All at the same time. Okay. So
disrespectful.
Absolutely.
Entitled.
All right. So before we get into kind of the more of the distinction, I want to go over the distinction in Scripture and exactly what mom and dad have been teaching on and defining, presenting when it comes to what the good news is. That there is a word for the good news, and it's Besorah. And it simply does mean the good news or good tidings. And this is in comparison to what we've known of the gospel. The gospel has, I'm not an expert on history or anything like that, so I'm not necessarily diving into it, but there is historical context for both that term and also the term that was used or was created when it comes to gospel, which was a Roman term. So this word in Scripture that was used in both Torah and as well in the New Testament is Besorah, meaning, like I said, good tidings, good news. So there was a military context for this term. And I think it's important for us to understand, because now that we're getting clarity on what the good news actually is, good news is completely redefined, meaning that actual, like, what is good, mm-hmm. and what would it be worthy of reporting? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So in a military context, this term, which you can see it utilized in scripture also in the military context, that it was an official royal announcement of victory or political change. Mm-hmm. Okay? There was a what was called a again, I'm not great with these words. I know the word herald, but the Hebrew word, it's like a mevasar. It's basically like a runner. So it would be someone who was like a battle runner, who in the middle of battle. So think about if your dominion was taken over, or your nation was at war, and there was a turn in battle where there was either a literal victory or a political shift in who was now in governance, then what would happen is, in the midst of that, a runner would sprint from the front lines back to the capital city, and they would bring the royal announcement. It was called Besorah. Good news. Good tidings. Things have shifted. And it was never, it was always good, meaning in their favor. This was also a term used when they would proclaim a new king that had taken over the throne. So it literally represented a new era of leadership. And when you think of a new era of leadership, part of the responsibility of healthy leadership is the safety, the security, and the covering of its citizens. So I would say, even in a military context, can you imagine being outside? I mean, there's a handful of ways you could look at it. You could be in the battle, or you could even be on the outskirts of the battle, waiting for whatever the result may be, but knowing we're either going to be under this leadership, mm-hmm. or we're going to be under leadership, mm-hmm. right? That will bring security and provision. Mm-hmm. And so either way, the anticipation of the good news is pretty profound. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we see in the word, we see that terminology start to pop up in prophecy. Right? So a couple scriptures that I do want us to look at would be Isaiah 52, which is the song of salvation. And in, well, maybe I want to read it. I think I left it open. Mom just quoted this. It might have been even the last time she taught. But it is called the Song of Salvation. And in the Song of Salvation is where you will hear, or you will read. Maybe I'll just read that one part. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, Besorah, who publishes peace, who brings good news of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Okay, so when it changes, which isn't really a change, but when it changes from literal earthly kings, mm-hmm. right, that good news that declares that power shift, or that shift in governance, or that victory, or the change in who's on the throne, when it shifts here, it's not just about human kings, But it's that ultimate announcement that we all are waiting for, which is the good news to come that mom and dad have been teaching, that he has and will continue to step into human history. Right? To rescue, which think about this again in our personal stories, but also what has happened as a community, which were the last Torah portions we did. We had the individual expression of salvation. When mom taught us, she was standing at the wine barrel, and it was like, you've never heard the fullness of what he's saving you from and for. As well as then when dad taught, when he was going through the personal, like how we will develop a narrative over time, that was the story of the bride. That was the story of our community. That was the story of Kingdom Heirs, right? That there was a witness bore against us. Praise God for the witness and the testimony of his word that witnessed against a people who had been operating in a false narrative so that truth and the original intent could be restored. Okay, so that's the kind of rescue from exile, from separation, defeat from those who have oppressed you, and then the establishment of his kingdom on earth. That's the fullness of the good news. Your personal life and beyond. Right? Okay. Isaiah 61. This is actually termed Besorah for the brokenhearted. Okay, I am going to read this because I want to make sure that part of when I'm saying that Yahweh wants to make sure that we know what the good news fully is and the distinction, you can hear all of the ways that this is good, or it's literally like a report of the good news. Okay. The Ruach of Adonai Elohim is on me, because Adonai has anointed me to proclaim Besorah, good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of Adonai's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of Adonai, that he may be glorified. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore former desolations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Come on. Strangers will stand and shepherd your flocks. Children of foreigners will be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you will be called the Kohanim of Adonai. They will speak of you as the ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations and boast in their abundance. Instead of your shame, double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will sing for joy. Therefore, in their land, they will inherit a double portion. They will have everlasting joy. For I, Adonai, love justice. How long has it taken us to understand his justice? And what we were missing was that was part of the good news.
Yeah.
That without justice, there can't be mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will rejoice greatly in Adonai. My soul... Oh, I skipped a part. I hate robbery and the burnt offering. In faithfulness, I will reward my people and cut an eternal covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations, their descendants among the peoples. All who see them will recognize them, for they are the seed that Adonai has blessed. I will rejoice greatly in Adonai. My soul will be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom wearing a priestly turban, like a bride adorning herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes things sown to spring up, so Adonai Elohim will cause justice and praise to spring up before all of the nations. These are the promises and the literal definition of the good news. Okay. Then we have Yeshua, and Yeshua proclaiming the good news, which again Mom and Dad have taught on this scripture over and over again as they've tried to break down our old way of thinking as far as what the good news or salvation used to be defined as for us. And Yeshua, as he comes into Galilee, he says, "Now is the fullness of time, and the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe in the good news." This is the same concept. This is Besora. He was using that same concept. So, believe in the good news. Ultimately, the good news we're carrying now is that we have a God who will rescue, who will gather, who will restore humanity and the fullness of earth to himself. We can return to him, Teshuva. Anyone been engaging Teshuva since the breakdown of the good news in your life in a new and personal way, that all you had to do was respond, that there hasn't been a response, and that it looks a certain way to act in a heart's turn, right? Love, cling, all of those things that were conveyed to us is what this is talking about. So the good news is that we can return to him. There will be peace, justice, and wholeness, and we have the future to look to because he will reign.
Amen.
So that's our word. Like I said, short and it's simple and it's already been taught, but our responsibility is to ensure that as we move from knowledge to culture, that what we know is the purity and the wholeness of the good news, because it's what culture is going to be built on and expressed through. Okay? Okay. Culture won't make much sense if we have a twisted perspective on the good news. Right? Or the culture, as it's released over us, we will twist and make impure.
Yeah.
If our understanding of the good news is impure.
Yeah. It's good to have those, like, recap, but like the reminders, and it's just like it's solidifying. Hearing you go back through some of those things, it's just solidifying and compounding all of it. One thing I thought was interesting when you were talking, Megan, was that people don't, like, if you think about culture, I don't know if anybody's compared it or thought about it this way, but if you think about large organizations that have long-standing success, you can think about, like, you know, large companies like Apple or even other organizations like the Marine Corps. There's this, like, esprit de corps. There's this cultural foundation that allows longevity in an organization, right? Nobody, for the most part, nobody like balks at culture. Nobody will argue that the effect of culture is there. Nobody has issues with culture per se, but it's like it's totally different when we put it in a religious context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it gets twisted and it gets weird and it gets
yeah.
even culty and like mm-hmm. it gets yeah. it gets weird,
it's not
right?
Not honorable anymore for some reason.
Yeah, it's like yeah. well, you're being controlled and you're being strong-armed and you're you can't think for yourself. And whereas
yeah, you all look the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look the same. You talk the same.
You wouldn't say that to a bunch of Marines.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Y'all look the same.
You'd say,
yeah, they spend a lot of time making
sure
we look the same.
Thank God all the Marines look the same.
Yeah.
That's why.
They operate the same.
Yeah.
They think
like,
the same.
It's totally, it's weird how twisted and different it gets just because you like switch the context.
Mm-hmm.
But we're untwisting and we're seeing the other side of that as we're going
yeah,
through this, right? So I was thinking about that while you were talking, and I also was just, as we're literally in our little microcosm, like Mom always says, or in our little focus group, as we're shifting into culture, and it feels like, it can almost feel like this is insignificant in the grand scheme of the world, this little thing where we're just going to shift our services from here to a new location, and it's going to be a once a month thing. Like we can easily fall into that, right? We can easily start thinking of it that way. But the cool thing is, just like we are in this month or in this season right now where we're in this process of teshuva and evaluating all these things and reflecting on all these things,
just like we can teshuva and return to him, and it's aimed at becoming more familiar with and coming further under his culture and all that does. The cool thing is that we can also, like, in the literal shift that's happening, I was going to cuss right there, sorry guys. In the literal shift that's happening, we get to, like, turn into, it sounds super simple, but we're literally getting a chance to turn into culture. Mm-hmm. It's super simple to say, but it is also, like, the phrase that comes to mind is, like, a sense of wonder. Like, I literally wondering, like, what is it that you're going to reveal, but also a sense of wonder in the things that are going to be established and cultivated in that are going to be sustained through generations. And it's just because we're, like, turning. We're turning this to the right thing. So just a couple things to think about and kind of stew in as all of this is going.
Well, did you guys play Mom's Boxes? Anybody not play Mom's Boxes?
You didn't. Oh, wait, from today?
No.
Oh,
from her.
Like,
you
definitely
her
did.
Time.
You responded.
From her time. Did anybody not get to play those?
Like,
if you haven't got to play those, find someone who has boxes close to you and play them. Because there was, she was releasing practically on what happened in that time, but there was a key that, for me personally, just unlocked things in me that I was like, I forgot I deserved that. Mm-hmm. I forgot that was in me. I forgot that was, like, what I was after. It's like, can get short-sighted, and we've been talking with the kids about this, of, like, we get this kind of vision, and it's, this is what I'm focused on, this is it. And he's like,
yeah,
there's more. And you're like, oh yeah, I forgot. There's, like, all these other things that's, like, these little things that you can start to go like this and forget that there's all of this that's leading you into it. And so with these boxes, the reason why I say play them is because it's unlocking things in our spirit that's, like, giving her boxes is the activation of the before.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, do you guys remember that Torah portion where she was like,
yes.
It was like, oh my God. like that's what it felt like it was doing in my spirit of, like, don't forget this is what we're after. Don't forget there's more. Don't forget that there's these things that he's untwisting for a reason. And she had mentioned that she's carrying something that will literally change the world.
Yeah.
And it's up for grabs for us to follow it.
Yeah.
And that's our decision to choose to walk in. But, like, just a glimpse of what she was talking about, it's like this, it was totally way more profound than this, but it's like prayers were answered.
Uh-huh.
Like, when's the last time I prayed for healing and it worked? Don't ask me for prayer because it doesn't work on my end. But the way that she was explaining things, like, one of the examples was she was praying for Sean's tomato plants that haven't grown. Did you hear that? And she came home to flowers on the tomato plant. And I was like, it unlocked this memory in my head. This is totally personal, but unlocked this memory in my head of remembering there was a time I was, like, staring out the window at my parents' house, and I was staring at the dirt, and I was like, there should be grass right there. Why is there not grass right there? So I literally was, like, staring out the window and, like, practicing as a kid, like, I'm going to create something. And I was, like, sitting there looking out the window, like, there's supposed to be grass right there. Like, grow grass. And I, like, sat there and was like, and it didn't work. But
are
it's like,
there isn't been called to grass.
Shut up. Well, I'm still killing it. I'll have to untwist that later. Anyway. Dang it. Okay. Anyway. But it, like, it reminded me of that moment where I was like, I literally prayed for, like, the simplicity of, like, grass in the dirt. Like, I wanted just the ability to create something with the Father, to see something genuinely move, to see something actually work. And what Mom is carrying is, like, the realness and the rawness of, like, it's simple, follow me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Mom. Whatever it takes. And so what we're on the precipice of as a family is understanding a culture that is something that we've cried out for. It's the things that we've anxiously awaited. It's the things that, like, the reasons why we have gone through the refinement, the things that, like, got us to this place in the first place of, like, there's got to be more.
Yeah.
This is, like, that precipice of getting to the other side of those things to see things actually work and happen. But that doesn't come from being lawless. That doesn't come from just my own willpower to make grass grow. Like, obviously it didn't work. Like, I have to have a foundation and an understanding, and the gift that he has given us to be able to have the Torah in this manner the last 3 years, to have it broken down in detail, every chapter fully explained, nitpicked, and just, like, the easiest thing. Like, we didn't even have to dissect it ourselves. It was literally given to us. So that we can be successful in what he's calling us to. So I want us to keep that at the forefront as we're, like, in these last few stages and we're in this month of Elul. I hope that we as a family are, like, really engaging that in that opportunity of Teshuvah that is in this month to return, love, listen, do, cling, that we are fully anticipating every moment of every time he brings something up immediately.
Yes
Dad. Yes. Okay, I need to return there. Yes. Like, again, one of the things Mom said, she was like, my entire life was twisted.
Yeah.
And it was this simple, oh, so then how do I untwist it and how do I walk it out?
Yeah.
It's not this convoluted, terrible, sickening. I mean, when you see the nature of yourself, obviously it's always kind of sickening, but it's not this religious thing. Like, it's just simple. Just return, love, listen, do, cling.
Yeah.
Move on and continue.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole point. So anyway, all that to say that hopefully in this month of Elul, we're taking opportunities to really be refined so that when we get to that place where we get to step through the doors of their home and say, I'm ready for culture, it's coming from that genuine place of, I've done the work to get here.
Yeah.
I know what this takes. I've refined the things that Yahweh has highlighted. I didn't dismiss things. I didn't push things away. I'm ready, and I want to learn. I want to engage, and I'm not going to be the whole time there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Mom said no zombies in the house.
Yeah, it can't be a zombie. So.
I mean, that
did you go? Sorry.
Yeah. I like that example where you're like this. And you're like, but I'm being intentional and I'm trying to focus on this thing. And then you're like missing everything else that's going on. Okay, so speaking of refinement, I want to bring a reminder of the overall context of this. And then we'll get into a couple guardrails, some things we want to speak over the family that we want us to all be carrying and safeguarding this. Okay? So remember, in the overall context, what are we nearing as we come to the end of portions, as we come to the literal end of the story? What are we nearing?
Tabernacles.
Yes, tabernacles. But like in the context of the Hebrew people, it's warfare, it's battle, right? Like they're nearing the edge of the they're on the edge of the land, and they're looking ahead at not just, well, we know what that is, right? Foundationally, the things that we're dealing with, those 3 points in this literal window of time that we have in the countdown of the weeks. Our number one, this character is good. Yep. We're not wrestling that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? Torah is relevant.
Yep.
In all ways, in all time. And then the third point, we are shifting our perspective and our walk so that it's 99% about humanity and others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1% about me.
Yeah.
Knowing that we've had it flipped the other way, and it's been 99% about me and sometimes about others.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, good on that?
Yep.
Yes.
Can I ask you
something? Mm-hmm.
I'm not literally adding to that list, but if you look at that list, if we have a clear understanding of the good news, it will completely finish, finalize all 3 of those points for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Meaning, if you have embraced the reality of the good news in its pure, true form, he's good. Torah is good.
Mm-hmm.
and it's not about you. Done. Because it's about a nation, his rule, his reign. It's not just your ticket. It's not just heaven. It's not just forgiveness of your sins. It's not just, right? So, if those things are still in work or in progress in you, go back to the good news.
Absolutely. Sorry, Dad. So, a couple guardrails. I think that there's a tendency for, and I'm speaking about a lot of these, let me just preface, a lot of these are like personal. So here when we're saying this, that this is both a thing that you can have personally and also on behalf of the community, knowing that it's aimed at something bigger, right? So there's kind of two ends of a spectrum that we can see. And the entryway to either end of that spectrum is you hear truth. So you hear truth, and on one end, you take it, you move quickly, you apply it, and it's now part of you. It's now implemented. It's now something that's activated and moved on. Okay. The other end of the spectrum is you hear truth, and you're sent into the fight of your life. Now, I don't say that in a good way, in the sense of like I'm fighting for life. I say it in the sense of you're on the end of the spectrum where you're fighting for what you want to preserve.
That's good.
That truth butted up against. And then you're like stuck in that place where then we're grinding. It's hard. It's difficult. The days are long and the nights are short. We're like pushing and pushing and pushing. So you get confronted by truth and you apply it and you move quickly, or you're shoved to the other end in butting up against it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. When it comes to, well, do you want to add to that one? Just still on this one for now. Okay. So then in that, of course, it's not just that we are realizing that there's ends of the spectrum, but we're actively trying to make sure that we're in everything that's in us, going back to the good news, understanding what's coming, that we're continuing to break down those layers so that our tendency, our natural tendency, is toward that correct end of the spectrum, where it's we're confronted by truth, and we come under it and we move.
Yeah.
Instead of being on the other end of the spectrum that is our natural tendency to go against it. Okay. When it comes to culture and knowing what's coming, I want us to think about this in like a worldly perspective. When somebody becomes a naturalized citizen and they go through that process, there's an expectation that you assimilate, right? You don't become a citizen and bring in everything from the previous thing.
Yep.
Not that there's not, hear me when I say that, right? But when you become a citizen, there's an expectation of assimilation. It's the same thing as we're approaching culture. We're expected to assimilate, to come under. Otherwise, you're considered an outsider. Another key piece of this is that his culture and the culture that we're going to be entering into, including what we're coming under literally in mom and dad, and coming into the home and everything that, that's part of that, that culture is not in addition to mine.
Right. Yeah. That's good. That's really good.
So be carrying that. I mean, and it goes back ultimately to what's been dispensed and taught and spoken over our family multiple times before. And just the simplicity in being able to be in the posture of I don't know, or I only see in part, or however you want to phrase that. It's been phrased many ways over the years, and then recently it's been revisited. But knowing that, what, just like when we receive truth and truth butts up against us, that it's not in addition to what I already have,
right?
But that it is truth,
right?
Right? Of course, when I really enjoyed the way that you broke down and just spoke into culture, and what that, like, that's what you pass down, what you know that influences the culture, and all of the things that you were speaking to, because another guardrail over our family personal caring is that everything in all of this, everything about us is being put on display. So the culture that we're manifesting, that we're putting on display, the Torah in us is being put on display. On the other end of the spectrum, all of our sensibilities are being put on display. Yeah. All of that. And the emphasis is because we're entering warfare, every action or lack of action has direct, public, fully on display consequences. Does that make sense?
Yep. Okay. Say it again.
Because we're entering warfare, every action or lack of action has direct, public, and fully on display consequences.
That's good.
Okay.
That was good.
This isn't necessarily a guardrail, but more of just a reminder with that. If we're stepping into culture, don't forget that the operating system of possession is what we're stepping into. Do you understand what that means when Padrino has talked about, or Dad has talked about that? The operating system of possession, the ownership within our home, is kind of like that, like what he's speaking to in that. The operating system of possession, you are responsible for your domain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Heads of households are responsible
yes.
for their domain
yes.
in their home. What you do with that, or your lack of what you do with that, will now be public because our culture mm-hmm. is public.
Yes. That's good.
So each household is responsible for their household. And it's going to be dangerous to try to step into what mom has and what she's carrying for our family with your household out of order. So it's important to address things immediately and not allow for that time for things to be left. It also is, Mom and Dad have talked about it with like the pack and play example. So like Ezra over there is sitting in pack and play.
Doing a thing.
And if we were to take the pack and play away, I thought about like literally putting him right here as an example.
It's
a silicone cupcake tray and he's putting cupcakes in it with a little piece of tongs.
That was his activity.
Motor skills. Anyway, if I were to put him right here, he's still learning to be in his Yay! Boundary mm-hmm. and not overstep the freedom. Mm-hmm. So the boundary wouldn't literally change because I took his pack and play away.
Yeah.
It might look different because he's on a blanket.
Yeah.
And there's freedom that he could decide
yeah.
to disobey mm-hmm. because I'm not going to safeguard
yeah.
that you're not going to step over the line anymore.
Yeah.
You're going to be subject to your consequences
uh-huh.
at that point.
Yeah.
You step over the line, we have chastisement. Mm-hmm. So there's an expectation of maturity
mm-hmm.
as the boundaries change, but that doesn't mean we now all of a sudden have access to everything
mm-hmm.
and we just go crazy and we forget that we're still on a square.
Yeah. Yep.
So with that, with heads of households, your focus is overseeing your square. Like, don't get sidetracked with trying to step into all these other things without first overseeing and owning your home. Because it will impact the community
yeah.
in that way.
One other thing to just add would be, you guys remember, I don't know how long ago it was, but we talked about like the great divide or that growth curve.
Mm-hmm.
You guys remember that? It's been a while since that was
talking about the Grand Canyon.
Like directly mm-hmm. brought up, but as the ones we're following are on that growth curve, and as that curve like steepens and increases and
mm-hmm.
it just exponentially goes and goes and goes, if we're because of our either whatever it is, we're butting up against truth, we're not assimilating, we're not coming under, we're fighting our sensibilities, whatever it is that,
yeah.
that we're doing, that I have a tendency to do, that curve is not one that I'm following on, but I'm like on my own very slow
growth or no growth at all. And maybe I'm like, hopefully I'm not regressing. But we get that concept, right? And so as we're shifting into this, there's a extreme emphasis when she's talking about like heads of households. There's an extreme emphasis, like literally on me, over her and over all my kids, however many of them there are now. We don't have one here, buddy. That our position on the growth curve is on me. Right? Like that's on the responsibility of that now rests on the individual homes and on us as individuals, because we're literally shifting into an extreme level of ownership where it is requiring us to I don't know if it's the best term, but like keep up.
Yeah.
But we're not just keeping up to like check the box of like keeping up every week.
Right.
But we're following. We will be kept up because we're following closely, and then the growth in the culture that's multiplied because of that is going to be on display. I don't know if I'm making sense.
You are.
But just to add another piece to that.
Okay, so practically, if we need to,
Jason.
This is just a practical exercise, just so we can see it. It's super free. But this is where we've been. And where we need to be. Starting like Sukkot. Okay, so this should be easy with us being in the month of Elul. Hopefully we're all self-reflecting. This should just be a quick list.
Sure. This came from our different table.
Yes, this came from our table. Why is this so crooked? Okay, so what we would like to do is practically like just own like where we've been and then fully recognize where we need to be. Like as a family, just the things that he's been working on, just address. One of the things in our house was what?
Asleep.
Being asleep.
Sleep. Okay.
Sleep, anesthesia. I'm thinking of all the terms.
I'm pretty sure I spoke that wrong.
Anesthesia.
Anesthesia. What else? Amnesia. Which is forgetting. Okay?
Yeah.
What else we have? What? Numb? What else? We've been zombies.
Self-preserving.
Self-preserving. What else? Self-righteousness.
All the selves.
What was that?
What? I said all the selves.
All the selves.
All the selves.
Self-righteousness.
Just selfish.
Like 99%.
Self, etc. Yes.
All me.
Anything else?
Quiet.
What did you say? Independent.
I can do it without him. Is that independent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Self-reliance.
Self-reliance. Thank you.
Self, et cetera. We'll write it anyway.
Doubt.
Oh. Doubt?
Doubt.
Doubt.
That's a good one.
Kate said disobedient.
Kate said disobedient. Okay, working on disobedience. But that's not. Oh, sorry. Kate is not disobedient. Stubbornness.
Just pointing out.
Yes.
Compartmentalization. No. Keep it quiet on there.
No.
Holding, like, within the golden cap.
What is that, idolatry?
Yeah. What's your foot right
now?
Oh,
idolatry. Oh, no. I just feel like.
What about position?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fighting for position.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Escape.
Partiality. Escape. Neutral. Okay.
Questioning is goodness.
Go on, watch the inventory.
Mm-hmm. Bigger whiteboard.
What?
Lazy.
Lazy? Should I write that on there? I'm just going to put the whole place all together.
Interruption.
Yeah.
Distracting.
Yep.
What was that one?
Pride.
Pride?
Yeah, pride.
Oh gosh,
we need a bigger board.
Flip it over. What about bitterness?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's
fine. I have not been bitter.
I did not find any roots of bitterness.
Slow. Put
lying.
Slow on there.
Lying?
Dang it.
What's the slow on there?
Slow.
Slow.
Slow to move.
Slow obedience is disobedience.
Yes.
Dismissive?
What?
Do I have to call on you?
No. Grace is waking up me.
I have to single you out right now?
What?
Do I have to single you out right now?
No. Grace
avoiding.
Is
avoiding. Okay. That's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
This is where we don't want to be.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Glad we're in
yep.
agreement. Okay. Where do we need to be? Opposite. We could, but I want us to like physically say them because I want us to like
yeah.
see it.
Helpful.
So okay, so submissive.
Not asleep.
Wait.
What?
Hardworking. Helpful.
Hungry.
Assisting.
Friendly.
Yeah, did we say we're
a
virtual speaker?
Humble. Assisting. What'd you say? Honorable. Assisting.
Accountable.
Posture.
Reliable.
I only got two, you guys. My brain capacity is. I had like four in my head. I got two of them. What else do we have? Responsible. What was the other one you said?
Accountable.
Accountable. Accountable, responsible.
Maybe assured, the opposite of doubt. Secure, assured, confident.
Our posture.
Yep.
Trustful.
Nice.
Yeah, just be a nice person, guys. I literally.
Intentional. Put it away.
Devoted,
the shame of heart,
used,
honoring, loyal, faithful,
remember,
gratitude.
You're very much.
Okay.
Generationally minded.
Mm.
Wow.
Lawful. That's a good one. We got this much room, guys. We can't leave it.
Somebody before said secure.
I have that one.
Oh, I can't read it.
No, sorry, my handwriting's getting really fast.
About him. How about others? Like, we're others minded? Or community minded? Yeah.
Truthful is different from trust. Yes.
In covenant?
That's a good one, since we like to step outside of covenant. Wise. We want to be wise.
Oh, right. We're not foolish.
Correct. Owners.
I'd
say followers.
What did you say? Is it transparent?
Well, I guess that should have said. Okay. Anything else?
Red.
Welcome collection.
Literally a commandment. Good one.
Love the law.
Follow the law. Good one. Okay. What did you say? True witness. All right, so we know what we're working towards.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
We got a couple ideas.
Okay, some things to think about. This is where we want to be. These are the things that we're finishing.
Okay.
These are the things that are getting checked at the door.
Yeah.
We're not bringing these anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so what? Did it take longer to come up with this side than that side?
Yes.
Yes.
Like it was easier to think about all the things that are over here?
Yeah.
Right? That is crazy, for one. But it's easy to come up with this. And one thing to think about in that is that he could be highlighting what is easy, like he's easily showing us what we need to deal with so that we can do this.
Uh-huh.
Right? So when we're like given a simple, easy prompt, and our tendency is to go like this, because it's like, okay, I'm in the month of Elul, and I have to do 1, 2, and 3, and then I'm talking about like what I do. Okay, this is what I do. I get in tunnel vision, and I'm thinking I got to do 1, 2, and 3, and I got to do this and do that, and what's the steps in Teshuvah, and then how, I didn't sleep very good last night, work's crazy right now, and what am I supposed to do? And then it's like, he's saying like, just lift the blinders off and respond to a simple prompt so that we can do this, right? The other thing to point out in this is that this is a culture on display.
Yeah.
And then so is this.
Absolutely.
So it's not just about my personal, like, well, I want to not be dealing with this stuff anymore because I got to be better about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that I can 99% benefit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it is absolutely about, let him point out this and then us deal with it. Mm-hmm. So that what is on display in the culture that is passed down is this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas the culture that we've been passing down, that I've been passing down, has been this.
Yeah. Okay.
So, just wanting to kind of point that out as well.
Okay, so just some things to posture us. I almost said it backwards. Or not going
to. Don't say that word.
Some things to posture us, or just to have in mind, to carry, and make sure that this is how we are entering in to all that he has, all of the culture, all of the things. Obviously, we're postured in excitement, hunger, all of those things. Sorry. Remembering what he's done. We're honoring of the time that's being given. We're assisting. We're being held accountable. We're responsible. We're assured and secured. I don't need to go in there and say, look at me, right? I'm not like going in there to be fed something because I just need attention and I need somebody to tell me that I'm good or that I did something good, or I need somebody to reaffirm me in something.
Yeah.
That's the 99% me that we'll walk in.
Yeah.
Right? That's how we're shifting that. So when we walk into mom and dad's house, I want to, we've been talking about the three things that we need to have addressed. by the time that we get to that shift at Mom and Dad's. I want to flip that a little bit because I also want to press us in recognizing Mom and Dad are a representation of Him, right? There are earthly, tangible, Yahweh-given examples on earth to pull us out of the bullshit I would get stuck in.
Yeah.
That's where we've been, right? So the thing that I want to flip is, well, in one, I want us to recognize that we get to receive His goodness in like a double portion. We receive Him, and we get to receive Him through them. So there's a double anointing in being able to be in their home that we're afforded. Again, after the assault, like I don't want us to forget the assault in their home that directly impacted them, that there's still an invitation for us to engage, which still will blow my mind. Because if it was in my house, I would not have had the character or the integrity to steward the way that they did. I would probably be in jail. And I would have handled a lot of things very terribly. So for them to be mature enough to hear His voice, hear direction, and steward an entire family in the midst of their assault is absolutely, will blow my mind.
Yeah.
So the invitation to still be in their home is humbling in and of itself.
Yeah.
But with that, what I was wanting to flip with the three things is we're carrying that, we're no longer questioning His character, Torah's relevant, 99% about humanity, 1% about us.
Yes.
I want to flip that, knowing that they're a representation of Him, that their character is good, their instruction is relevant, and it will be 99% promise keeper, 1% benefactor. That is our posture. We're no longer positioning ourselves to question their integrity, the direction that they're leading us, the accountability that they'll hold us to, like our sensibilities and how we handle our things. I want us to work through those things before we get there. Because those things or those accusations or questioning that will come up, doubt, those things that will come up will keep you from being able to fully engage with their dispensing because you'll question it. Even if you're not questioning Him, you'll question them then as the vessel. So I want us to be intentional to make sure that that refinement is done there as well. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And then, of course, outside of that, we want to carry that we're not having expectations of them versus our response to them. So it's no longer, hey, I need you in this thing. It's follow me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's response-based. Yes. So we're no longer coming in with an expectation to be fed, even though obviously it's going to
change
our lives.
Literally going to change your life. Yeah. Obviously you're going to be fed. It's like when Kate's like, are we going to eat dinner? Have we ever not eaten dinner? Of course we're going to eat dinner.
Oh my God,
you're just an example. It's probably more hard, but... But we're not coming in with that expectation from that place of entitlement of saying, you're going to feed me. But instead, we're posturing ourselves to say, in response to whatever you have, I will move. And then, of course, always carrying gratitude in what is given. That is how we will continually respond, is from that place of gratitude and humility and recognizing that anything beyond just being given the... I mean... Just being given the Torah is like all you need. And yet there's more.
Yeah.
So gratitude that there's always more.
and that he's given us a vessel to be able to dispense that. Yeah, I think that that's basically it. All of that to say, we will have to carry the self-discipline to sustain.
Yeah.
Right. We can't expect that mom and dad are now going to break down everything to the degree that I need it because I didn't do the work to understand it and I didn't apply it. And now we're 3 years down the road and it doesn't make sense because I didn't apply it in the first place. Like, we have to have the self-discipline to take what's dispensed, own it, take it over our homes, make it culture, make it how we function, make it how we do life, and have the discipline to create and follow what is being dispensed, or we won't create anything other than just repeating all of that.
Yeah.
Repeating, I mean, that's what Dad was talking about. You'll just repeat the religious, we'll just start over.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the danger with every transition. If you do not intentionally take it, grab it, own it, let it refine you, you will just repeat religion again.
Yeah.
Anything else? Okay, so offering. I think the bucket is, thank you, Kendra. Speaking of discipline, we're going to have to remind ourselves. I say this like every week because I'm genuinely a little bit concerned that we'll forget. But we're all going to have self-discipline to remember that we still have a house to run even if we're not in the house.
Yeah.
Right? There's still things that need to be done. There's still things that we're putting our hands to. There's still things outside of just, I mean, even culture. We can get like this and forget that he's still given us assets and things to steward. Like, okay, so we looked at Mission Timber. We have Mission Timber as a huge asset for our family that Yahweh said, this is for your ministry. Use for your ministry. Use what would benefit you. Currently, it's an Airbnb. But use it for what we need in our family to continue to expand. We have Arrowhead. It's done amazing. But is there more? Is there something else he has? And we can't forget that there's things that he's asked us to govern and steward so that we can continue to expand. One of the things I did just want to speak to kind of practically was when the budget showed that we had tithe of $200-some thousand. I just want to break that down real clearly. We had some very generous, very high checks come in a couple different times. That does not mean by us tithing, we made $200,000. So I don't want us to forget or just like kind of like let off the gas of like, oh, we're doing great. Because that was like a, that's not like a yearly, we're just rolling in it.
Yeah.
That was like a couple things that came in and we were blessed by it, we stewarded it, but that doesn't mean that we just have this abundance of tithe and offering that comes in every week. So I don't want us to forget our responsibility or let off the gas in that because it looks like, which is awesome, I just don't want that to like be a loophole almost for us to just be like, we're good. So, just wanted to say for that. Anyway, I guess just with all that, when you see the numbers and we look at it, like, don't just look at black and white or we're doing good or we're doing bad or this was handled well or this, like, we can get our own opinions and how things should be stewarded. But just look at it and recognizing he's given us a foundation that has been trustworthy to the penny. And learning to follow to that degree is what will continue to expand vision beyond what I think we even understand is possible. And so we want to continue to move in those things and make sure that we're really owning that for ourselves, but also owning that communally because you're subject to me and I'm subject to you.
Yeah.
So we're gonna own that together.
Okay. Can I just add one quick thing? I know we're done, but there was something that Amber and Jason brought that is just kind of still like ringing in my ears and feels like a strong concept to be aware of. Sometimes it's hard to make clear connections when you're like just first sitting under something, so I just want to make sure that this one is pretty clear for us. So when they were saying that the culture that we're going to be introduced to is not in addition to our own, that is the precursor to syncretism. So when we've talked about when we have come out of the blending of cultures, don't think that you're outside of that. Does that make sense? So just like we had to have Yahweh remove from us what was blended, you can still participate in re-engaging that, the blending of cultures, by not laying down our own as his is introduced. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so that felt like a pretty loud warning. So when Amber is ending with how we're entering into mom and dad's home, and it comes to character, trust, submission, all of those things on the right side of the board, that just like we were challenged in truth, and we held on to our own truth for a certain amount of time where we were like, oh no, I'm dying on the hill of Christmas, or I'm dying on the hill of this about what grace is, or I'm dying on the hill of this definition, and we had to wrestle out what we knew with what truth was being introduced to us. It can be the same with culture, where culture gets introduced. Hopefully, it's not going to be anywhere near the degree that it was, because now we have a base of knowledge that is accurate and is founded on truth, which is part of why the safeguarding moving ahead is make sure you know what he wanted you to know, right? So that when culture's introduced, you're not holding on to something that is your own knowledge outside of what he taught. Does that make sense? Because then the culture will make sense to you.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's just something for us to really be aware of, and I could see as a community like that being a potential snag if we're not operating in all those things on the right side. Okay, so I mean, they said that, we'll go back to religion, but just so that we're aware, syncretism, that blending of cultures, that's what that is. So, because it's going to challenge your household culture, it's going to challenge.
Yeah,
it's even more intimate.
You know,
than
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, and so there can be a tendency to then want to hold on to, well, that's just what we do, or that's what we prioritize, or that's, you know, whatever that looks like, he's gonna bring his culture, and we don't want to then think, oh, well, we can do both. Because that's the blending that takes place, right? So, and then you're like off in a little offshoot.